Over the next 2 years, the U.S. plans to resettle nearly 12,000 Bantu refugees from Somalia. They will be scattered in groups across the United States. The first plane load arrives next week. The project poses one of the most ambitious challenges for resettlement agencies in years. These refugees are largely illiterate, with little concept of what life in America holds for them. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
For these Bantu, being a refugee is only the latest twist in a history of persecution. Sasha Chanoff of the International Organization for Migration says the Somali Bantu's ancestors were actually from Tanzania, Mozambique, and Malawi.
The kind of oral history goes that about 200 years ago, the Sultan of Zanzibar and other slave lords either tricked or captured these Bantu people and brought them to Somalia and sold them into slavery in Somalia.
Over time, they won their freedom, but with darker skin and broader features than other Somalis, the Bantu remained second-class citizens, consigned to subsistence farming.
They were always discriminated against in Somalia. They had very little or no access to education, and the stigma of slavery was always attached to them.
With no clan protection, the Bantu were especially vulnerable when Somalia collapsed into civil war. Even in refugee camps in Kenya, they suffered mistreatment. The United Nations first sought to resettle the Bantu back to their ancestral homelands in southern Africa, but those countries balked over funding and other issues. So in 1999, the U.S. State Department agreed to accept them. As their travel date has neared, resettlement agencies across the country have spent months preparing.
And Pat, these are just some general materials that I brought down.
Okay,
from
I brought the copies of refugee reports.
Oh, excellent.
Too.
Okay.
In the cramped Baltimore office of the International Rescue Committee, Christine Petrie has gathered IRC's caseworkers to coordinate the help these clients will need.
Some of them have never seen or used flush toilets, for example. Some of them are not familiar with paved roads and so on and so forth. So when we pick them up at the airport and bring them to their apartment,
that's not the end of it.
That is just the beginning. I mean, we're going to have to spend some pretty serious time with them.
Like all refugees, the Bantu will get 4 months of government help with housing and job assistance. But aid agencies worry that won't be nearly enough, and some are requesting extra funding. Meantime, Petrie assigns one caseworker to contact schools to set up literacy programs. Another will call employers, seeking jobs for those with no English and no marketable skills. Someone else will speak to health clinics and hospitals to brace them for patients who still practice traditional bloodletting and cupping. Pat Hatch, here is Maryland's state refugee coordinator, says someone should also be in touch with the federal food assistance program, WIC.
So it's not going to be a matter of give them the coupon and the children are going to eat. It's going to be starting from the very beginning because they won't be familiar with any of the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
What's inside those packages?
Yeah.
Hatch says the Somali Bantu will be challenged by even the smallest things Americans take for granted, a point driven home for her after hearing a story from an aid worker in a Kenyan refugee camp.
Some Somali Bantu were to come for an interview, and they faced a closed door. And having never used a doorknob in their lives, they were trying to figure out how to get to the other side. And what they were doing was knocking at the corners of this rectangle that was a door to try to get it to open.
Migration official Sasha Chanoff says refugee workers in Kenya have developed an extensive 10-day orientation program for the Somali Bantu to introduce just such basics.
We have a sink with hot and cold water. We have forks and knives and plates. We have cleaning detergent. We're going through all this with them. And in the bathroom, we have a toilet, a sink, a bathtub. You know, one woman said, as we were showing her the bathtub, she said, oh, is that a boat? But these are things that once they see and we explain to them, they understand. And these are things that they'll catch on to quickly.
The class also covers more difficult concepts like social norms, American law, and how to manage time and money. The IOM has produced a video of the refugee camp to introduce the Bantu to U.S. aid workers. On it, a refugee named Mohammed, wearing an oversized jacket and surrounded by children, smiles in anticipation of his journey.
All we are here today. We are Bantu, Somali Bantu. And we have something called great hope. As much as we live in the world, to go in America. And we pray God to give American people peace, liberty, and security.
Privately, some in the resettlement community worry that the Somali Bantu may find the U.S. overwhelming and their adjustment tremendously difficult. On the other hand, with no exposure to American pop culture, movies, or TV, one aid official says the Bantu may not have overblown expectations that life here is easy. However the transition goes, it will be as much a learning experience for American refugee workers as for the Bantu themselves. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Baltimore.